Our New Testament reading this evening is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. You can find this on page 933. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. She gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David, who is the Messiah, the Lord. There will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There's something about going home for Christmas, isn't there? It's easy to see that our imagination is captured by this idea. The hit Christmas song by Bing Crosby, "I'll Be Home for Christmas," from the 1940s, still gets regular play on radio stations and in shopping malls all December long. Each year, this week sees airports and highways jam-packed with travelers trying to get home. This makes Christmas Eve services a bit different from weekly worship in churches. Many Parkwood members have traveled elsewhere to go home, and we welcome tonight many people who are here because they have in some way come home. What is it that makes home such a compelling image for us, especially at this time of year? Each year we develop in our minds a picture of Christmas at home. We might remember back when we were children and Christmas had a sort of magical sense about it, didn't it? It was so different from any other day. There were special traditions that seemed to happen, a special meal, or going to church, opening presents, seeing relatives that we rarely saw during other times of year. We might remember the sight of the family Christmas tree, the sounds of bells jingling or ringing outside department stores, the smells of special treats. I know that our kids will probably always associate the smell of gingerbread baking with Christmas at home. There's just something about them, isn't there? These pictures that we have in our minds of Christmas at home. They bring up our longing for the intimacy, the comfort, the security that we often associate with home, with the way things ought to be. They call to mind a place and a time where things are simpler and when the world is safer. Why is it, then, that in our reading tonight, everyone seems to be going away from home? Look at Mary and Joseph. There she is, very pregnant, far from home, no place to stay. Imagine the chaos of the scene. Streams of travelers put on the road because of the census and seeking out any place to stay, even if it's where the animals slept. Who can doubt that Mary wants to be home on this night? There may be little that Mary craves on this night more than to sleep in her own bed. Some of us identify with Mary. We might feel like we've been told time and time again that there is no room for us at the inn. It could be that we are estranged in some way from our family and wonder what kind of reception we would receive if we were to try to go home. I know that some people are not blessed to grow up having those magical Christmases. And often they grow up trying to escape bad memories of childhood, times of conflict and brokenness. And on this night in particular, they just want, more than anything else, a safe, warm place to lay their head. Or look at the shepherds. We're told that they are living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. They're in a perpetual state of seeking home, always moving around, watching the sheep. It was a very nomadic lifestyle. In our ever more transient culture, I think this image resonates with many of us. For so many today, travel demands of their jobs constantly take them away from home. I know that many in this congregation have jobs that require a good deal of travel, and quite a bit of your time is spent trying to get home. Others have had to move from place to place as they develop in their careers, and they start to lose a sense that any one particular place is home. Maybe you find yourself living here in West Michigan, even though home is elsewhere. And if your work has kept you here this evening, this week, instead of going home, you might particularly identify with the shepherds tonight. For others, the shepherd image and the wandering associated with it might be more of a metaphor. So many people these days experience a deep spiritual longing. They might have trouble articulating it, but it is very real. Maybe you know people like this. Maybe you're going through something like this. They seem to know that there is something out there that they're missing, but they can't quite put a finger on it. They might go from one spiritual approach to another, wandering from Buddhism to transcendental meditation, to Kabbalah, to New Age spirituality. Religion seems to have a bad name in our culture, but there is no doubt that people are searching for something. There's a deep craving out there. People are completely captivated by an ongoing, often relentless struggle to find a spiritual home. What makes us crave this home so much? As a Christian pastor, what I want to say on this night especially is that this powerful, universal longing for home points us back to humanity's original home. Before the fall, Adam and Eve experienced home in the Garden of Eden as life in the very presence of God. There was no want or hunger or thirst. To Adam and Eve, God had given every tree and plant and fruit in the garden save one. There was no conflict, Peace and justice reigned, and relationships were whole and complete. Adam and Eve spent time in fellowship with God and with each other every day, and all was right with the world. This home was lost when Adam and Eve rejected life under God's care and wanted to become independent of God's will for their life. They wanted to be on their own. Very much like our instinct when we are young adults about to leave home. Ever since that day in the garden, humanity has longed to get back home. Ever since that day in the garden, humanity has struggled to find its way back. That story of going back home or of finding home is a story that is recapitulated time and time again in Scripture. Abraham is called out of Ur of the Chaldees and is promised a new home and spends his life seeking it. He's later called a wandering Aramean by his descendants. Joseph finds himself in Egypt, away from his home, after his brothers get mad and jealous that he is their father's favorite. The Israelites are led out of slavery in Egypt to go and find their home in the Promised Land. Generations later, the Israelites are sent in exile to Babylon. And then, at long last, as described in our reading from Isaiah tonight, they are finally heading home. But do all these people that we read about in the Old Testament ever truly make it back home? Adam and Eve see one of their sons kill their other son. Joseph sees his family come to him, but their new home in Egypt turns to the horror of slavery. Rescued from slavery, Israel makes it to the Promised Land, but before long strays into idolatry and winds up in Babylon in exile. They return from exile in great celebration, but in a few generations the Romans roll into town as occupiers. Their lives were stories of seeking home. So many stories in the Bible are about people trying to get home. This is also our story. We try and try to go home and just can't get there, at least for very long. It's so elusive, isn't it? Even when we do get home, it's never as wonderful as we thought it would be. It never lasts as long as we would like. I think all of this is what makes the scene in tonight's reading so captivating to us. It captures the deep desires and longings that we have for home, but it also reflects the tenuous hold that we seem to have on home. There is someone else in our reading tonight who is leaving home. He is at the center of the story. He is in the manger. The baby, Jesus, the Son, the second person of the Trinity, leaves his home with the Father to come to us. The Word became flesh and lived among us. He is the center of our reading tonight. He's the center of our whole celebration of Christmas, and he's the center of the whole story of the Bible. If the Bible contains the stories of so many people struggling and failing to get home, even more than that, it is the story of God coming to us in Jesus of Nazareth to take us home. His leaving home changes everything for us and gives us a foretaste of our true home. Our true home is in the presence of the Lord. Our sin separates us from God, just as Adam and Eve's sin separated them from the paradise in the garden that was their home. We struggle and try to get back, but left on our own, we can never do it. But through Christ, we're able to return. Through Christ's leaving home, we are able to go home. We can't find our own way back home, but Christ can take us there. God does not leave us out on our own, out in the fields with the shepherds, or out in the cold night when the inn is full. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. Through Christ, God restores our broken relationships with him and with each other. He takes us home. That sin that separates us from God, that keeps us from getting home, Christ takes it upon himself when he goes to the cross. In that exchange, what he gives us is his purity, his righteousness that we can never live up to on our own. But he takes our sin and clothes us in his righteousness. He takes our place and unites us to him so that when the Father looks at us, he sees Jesus' righteousness and welcomes us home. That is the good news. In Christ, we can live in the presence of God. We can go home. When we get to Bethlehem in the presence of the baby, we see everyone's reactions. The shepherds make known what had been told to them about the child, and all who hear it are amazed. Mary treasures these words that the shepherds tell her, perhaps remembering the visit from the angel Gabriel many months before. She ponders them in her heart, gazing at the face of the Savior, realizing that this is a true home. The shepherds return to their home in the fields, glorifying and praising God. It is a tremendous scene, this scene at the very beginning of the New Testament that anticipates the full revelation of home that is described to us in a scene at the very end of the New Testament. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw a holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And maybe ultimately that is why we have such a thing about being home for Christmas. This scene that we recall every year gives us a glimpse of our true home and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that we are finally going home. It reminds us and proclaims to us that Jesus' arrival is good news of great joy for all people. It assures us that we join them in going home and invites us to join them in glorifying and praising God for all we have heard and seen. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors. Amen.